I'm David Schreiner Khan, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Joe Kasherba. Joe grew the freelance web design business that he started in high school into a digital agency with a virtual team and clients around the world. He went from building $300 websites to building $30,000 websites and managing six-figure digital advertising budgets. Joe now advises and mentors other freelance web designers and digital agency owners on how to develop and scale their businesses. Joe, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, David. How's it going?
It's great. I'm really glad that you're on. So let's cut to the chase. What do you think? I know you've had your own experiences. You've done a great job building your business. What do you think are the important ingredients to smash a plateau in business and in life?
Well, one thing that comes to mind, which I see a lot when I'm working with freelancers, is when people don't take a diagnostic approach to their problems. I see a lot of times when people will look at a problem sort of from an emotional standpoint, and they'll say, you know, my business isn't working or my marketing isn't working, and they'll just sort of declare it as not working rather than taking a diagnostic approach and looking at it as, what isn't working? Is it that I'm not getting sales? Is it that I'm not getting leads? Is it that my products aren't profitable? You know, I have too high expenses. Like, not actually drilling down to see what the problem actually is, just throwing their hands up in the air and saying that the whole thing's not working. I think that's a really key piece.
Yeah, yeah. I've had this discussion with lots of business owners. Like, it's not working. Maybe I should just get a job. My answer is always, do you think you really want a job? Do you think somebody is actually going to hire you? Because most people who are entrepreneurs don't make good employees.
Yes, absolutely.
So when you've taken a diagnostic approach for yourself, what are some of the things that you've learned?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think what happened when I didn't take a diagnostic approach, we'll start there.
Yeah, it's a better place to start. You're right.
Yeah. So, you know, there's a period of time in my business where I was doing freelance work. It was before I was working with a team or had really anybody working with me. And I was at a plateau of, I was making a full-time living, but it wasn't a lot, and I couldn't increase that. And what I kept doing was I kept trying different random things to try to get more web design clients. You know, I would, you know, one time I made like 10 cold calls, and then another time I, you know, spent like $100 on Facebook ads, and I sent a few postcards in the mail, and I kept trying all these different things, and I almost immediately declare each of those things as not working, and, you know, the business never grew, and nothing. I was taking more and more shots in the dark and never sort of adjusting and actually getting anything to work. So once I learned to take a diagnostic approach, it was, okay, I'm going to start running these ads on Facebook, or I'm going to start running these ads on Google. And then I wasn't even trying to get clients. I was just trying to get impressions of the ads, just get the ads to show. So once the ads were showing, now I just want to get people to click on the ads. And once people were clicking on the ads, I just wanted to get people to fill out the contact form and get in touch with me. And I wasn't even so much worried about making the sales. I was just sort of going step by step through the process and knowing if I can figure out each step, eventually I'll figure out that last step, which was the sales piece, and sticking to one or a couple different marketing strategies rather than taking new shots in the dark every time and sort of never diving into anything and figuring out how to get it to work.
Right. Now, would you say that as part of your diagnostic, one of the problems was not enough new sales?
Yes. I mean, absolutely. I guess, yeah, in that example, it was not enough clients, not enough sales coming in was the specific problem. But probably at that point, I should have taken a more diagnostic approach, even asking what the problem was, because another one of the problems was that I wasn't charging enough. And it took me a while to even see that. It took me getting the marketing campaigns working and, you know, then having too many clients to realize then that I could and that I needed to increase my prices. But if I'd been more diagnostic about it, I probably could have increased my prices a lot quicker and, even before the marketing campaigns were working, I would have been doing a lot better.
Yeah, don't you think it's hard though for particularly solopreneur service businesses to understand that they need to charge more when they don't have enough current business? I think it's a real big mindset issue.
It's a major mindset issue. It's a major problem. And I think the easiest way to solve it is to, it's a big mindset issue. And I think you can get to the point where you get comfortable charging more and just sort of going out on the limb and charging a higher price. But I think that the easiest way to solve it, or the way that a lot of people have to solve it, is by attacking it from the lead side and saying, well, if I can get a bunch more deal flow, if I can get a bunch more lead flow, then I can be comfortable increasing my prices because I'm not so worried that any particular client is going to buy. So one of the things I always tell people is that no matter what, they should be doing some sort of marketing or prospecting in their business, even if that's, you know, sending out cold email to people that would be a good fit to work with, or, you know, something like that. That way there's always a flow of leads and people, your potential clients you're talking to. And that's sort of the easiest way to deal with that issue, that mindset issue of not being comfortable charging more.
Right. Because then you have the confidence that there's still more leads coming in.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it all stems from that issue stems from a fear of, you know, if this particular person doesn't buy, then, you know, we don't know where the next person's going to come from. And so we need to attack that. And that's also related to the problem of people, you know, taking on clients that they shouldn't take on because they're not a good fit, or they're going to be a difficult client, or, you know, they don't really want something that you're good at, you know, and all those kinds of problems.
So would you say that part of this diagnostic approach is when you break it down, you're also solving one small problem at a time as opposed to trying to solve every single problem in your business simultaneously?
Exactly. It's one problem at a time, and it's one problem at a time, and it's realizing that there's no way to solve every problem in one shot. Just like if you're going to launch a marketing campaign, if you're going to launch a Facebook advertising campaign, it's very unlikely that you could launch a campaign and immediately the entire campaign works and profit comes out the end. At the end of the sequence. You know, you have to launch it and you have to say, you know, are we getting clicks on the ads? Are we getting people to opt in? What stages are things breaking down? You know, I remember in high school there was the Rube Goldberg competition. Those are those sort of crazy contraptions where, a ball hits something else and then something else falls over and then something else spins around, and it's sort of like the mousetrap game. And there was this competition in high school where you have to build one of these crazy machines, the contraptions. And it was the kind of thing where you'd have to get the first step working, and then you have to figure out how to get the next step working, and then some other piece would break, and then, you know, you have to figure it out step by step. And that's a lot how business is. And once you get it working, you know, then, you know, your business will run like crazy and can generate a ton of profits, but, you know, it's not going to work on the first shot, and you have to fix each step. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So with that logic in mind, if you are an existing business where you've had successes, suddenly something has changed. You know, it could be that you've had a string of issues with your employees, or you may have an issue with a major vendor that's really key to you being able to develop your products or services, or there's a shift in the market and the market isn't what it once was. Where do you start if you're just feeling like nothing's working?
Yeah, I mean, I think I would get out a piece of paper and, you know, write a list down the left-hand side of everything that is working, and on the right-hand side, everything that's not working. You know, in each of the examples that you just listed, there's only one piece that's not working. You know, if you have a problem with a supplier of one of your products, well, you know, the problem would be you need a different supplier and you need to solve that problem. But everything else is probably still working. Your marketing and your customers probably still want your product, and, you know, everything else is working. And so I would just sort of get out a piece of paper, write that down until you figure out what the problem is. And go out and solve it and try to avoid making that problem bigger than it is, you know, become by being, you know, too emotional about it, and try to avoid sort of thinking about it as a systemic problem of your whole business and just thinking about it as a simple one piece that you have to solve.
Mm. Joe, how have you learned to address your own fears and frustrations when you've been in those narrow places?
I mean, by no means is, you know, have I conquered all the mindset issues and stuff. I feel like that's a constant battle. One thing that's really helped me is every time I identify something that is a mindset issue or is something where I'm afraid of taking the next step in something, I actually add it to a list of affirmations that I have in the morning. And, you know, so say I identify that I'm afraid of charging higher prices, for instance. I'll actually add that as an affirmation in the morning and say, you know, I'm comfortable charging higher prices. I know my services are worth these higher prices and things like that. And I'll do those affirmations every morning to until I'm comfortable charging the higher prices or until I'm comfortable doing whatever I need to do. So affirmations in the morning, absolutely critical. So much about entrepreneurship is just dealing with your own mindset issues and being willing to do the things that you need to do. So definitely recommend affirmations. And the other piece is just anything that you can do to commit to solving the problem that you're needing to solve. So say you had that problem with a supplier. Well, if you email your entire email list and say, you know, we're doing this sale at the end of the month of this product. Now you have a month to solve the problem. And I mean, you have to know that you're going to be able to figure it out in that time, but sometimes some sort of a time limit or something like this, something like that to actually push you into taking action is important.
Yeah, that's great. Joe, what has been some of the most transformational help that you've received as you've been on your own leadership journey?
Yeah, absolutely. Probably the biggest realization that I've ever had, which I got from a mentor, probably we'll talk about at the end of the interview, is just the realization that I needed to be focusing on marketing and getting clients. In the web design space, certainly, and I think in a lot of other spaces, there's a tendency to focus on a million other things that don't actually matter and not focus on getting clients. So I was doing this, and I see a lot of web designers do this, where, you know, you're redesigning your business cards a million times, or you're worried about some new WordPress plugin, or you're worried about some technical thing that you're learning, or you're redesigning your logo, and then you're not actually doing anything to go out and get clients. And so I had to realize that number one priority is going out and getting clients, and to stop sort of just waiting for clients to randomly come to me, and, you know, making that my number one priority. That was a big realization for me. It sounds obvious when you think about it, going out and getting clients is the most important thing, but so many people don't focus on that.
If there's no marketing and sales, there's no business.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and I even think about that. People come to me so often with, you know, ideas that they have. I say, oh, you know, somebody will come to me, I have an idea for this startup, and, you know, it's going to do this or that. And I always ask them, well, how are you going to market that? Or how are you going to actually get clients? Or how are you going to get customers? And I now have this sort of thought that, you know, a business model that doesn't have a way to get clients or a way to get customers is only half a business model. And so I'm always looking for, okay, well, how are you going to actually sell that thing that you have an idea for?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, if you have a way to get customers and clients, but you don't have any of the other parts of the business, that's a much stronger business than if you have the business elements without a way to get customers and clients.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, and as a matter of fact, in today's world, it's there's so many ways to acquire the resources you need to develop what it is you're selling that it's really silly not to focus on getting customers and clients first.
Absolutely. And then, of course, you see all these entrepreneurs, and I've done this too. You know, I had startup companies that ended up failing, and I had a startup company where we invested almost a year developing a a software as a service product that not a single person ended up buying. You see, you know, people invest all this time or energy or money in some idea and have never thought about marketing and never talked to the potential clients or the potential customers. And so they end up building something that nobody actually wants.
So was that the mistake that you made with the software as a service product?
Yeah, it was. That was. It was in college. I was building this. It was a website builder similar to like a Squarespace or something like that. And what I did was I basically built it. I built the product that I would want as a web designer, but it was not the. But the product didn't make any sense to a business owner that didn't know anything about building a website. You know, it was intuitive and easy for me as a web designer to use, but it didn't make any sense to a business owner who was the intended target, the intended market for the product.
Right, right. So once going back to your own business and your primary business, when you focused on marketing and selling, what was the result?
Business grew fast, very, very fast. When we finally got a marketing campaign working, it was Google AdWords was the main. The first marketing strategy that really took off. We ran ads on Google for maybe 4 months and then had to turn it off because we had so many clients we didn't know what to do with. And I had to focus on getting more team members. And that was after years of stagnation.
How did it feel?
It felt like, you know what, it's funny. In the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, amazing book everybody should read who's an entrepreneur, there's a line in there, and I don't remember the exact words, but he basically says, when the riches come, they'll come so fast and in such great abundance that you'll wonder where they were all those lean years.
Yeah, it's a great line.
What it felt like. It was like I just turned on this AdWords campaign, optimized it, got it running, and clients started coming in more than I could handle, and I was like, where was this all these years? Or I felt like I could have just turned that campaign on 3 years before and had all those clients. And it was just very strange. It was just very strange.
Except we don't know what we don't know.
Exactly. Exactly. I just didn't know.
Yeah. So, and where's your business now?
Well, yeah. So now that, now I've gotten the business to the point where we have project managers that manage projects and, our prices have probably quadrupled since we first got that campaign working. And now I'm able to focus on this new business where I'm doing training programs and working one-on-one with other freelancers, which is something I really enjoy and I'm even more passionate about than growing my web design business. I always had this idea that I wanted to be a teacher, and I even tried to be a college professor at one point, but I didn't have enough degrees. So it's cool. I've grown the business and automated the business enough that I can focus on this new endeavor that I'm really passionate about.
And what's your dream for this new business to become?
I want to be our goal is to be the best in the entire world when it comes to helping freelancers build their businesses and specifically build their businesses into agencies, into web design agencies and digital marketing agencies that give them the lifestyle they want and the income that they want. I see there's a lot of trainings out there for freelancers or for agencies and things. And the result of a lot of those is even if they work, you get really busy and you don't actually have the lifestyle that you want, So we're focusing a lot on how do you build a business that has some automation, that has contractors involved, that's actually going to, asking people to think about what lifestyle they want. Do they want to build a big agency? Do they want to have a lifestyle business? And actually focus on some of those kinds of things also. And we're going to be the best in the world at that.
Yeah, no, it's really important to ask people the questions, the hard questions about what is it they really want.
Absolutely. And I feel like so many people, even people who've built – had success in business, and I felt like I've had this a few times where you end up succeeding and you realize you hadn't actually thought about what you wanted, and you end up with a business that maybe is successful but it's not necessarily what you sort of the way you wanted it to be. I remember the first time as a freelancer that I hit $10,000 in a month in revenue. And I'd been working so hard to try to hit $10,000 that I was just like, this is going to be awesome. And what I realized was I hit $10,000. I'd worked a ton of just insane number of hours to try to do that as a freelancer just by myself, charging, doing a lot of hourly work. And then the month changed and I was back at zero. You know, it was a new month. And I realized there was no way I could do that every month. You know, it was too many hours and it was too much. And so I realized I had to get other people involved. I had to take things in a little bit different direction.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. Amazing when you realize these things. What you end up creating is often not what you really want.
Absolutely.
So, Joe, whom do you know personally who's been really successful at smashing plateaus?
Yeah, so a mentor of mine and now a good friend of mine, his name is Sam Ovens, and he's from New Zealand. He now lives in New York, but he's built a massive business. And, you know, I've seen him a number of times in the time that I've been working with him. He's really good at identifying when he's hit sort of the plateau of a certain business model or a certain marketing strategy, and very, very quickly shifting to what's going to get him to the next level. And that's something I'm trying to emulate and you know, trying to see, you know, at what point is this business model or is this product or is this service or is this marketing strategy at its limit, and we need to, you know, choose something that's going to get us to the next level and sort of be decisive about that. And I'm, you know, impressed by his ability to do that.
Sounds like a great example. Joe, if you were going to offer our audience tips on what to do for an existing business that hits a plateau and the owner is frustrated beyond belief, where would you start?
Well, yeah, I would go, you know, let's take a specific example and assume this is somebody that, you know, they're not getting sales for some reason. Maybe the market's changed, maybe, you know, the referrals aren't coming in or something like that. If that's the case, what I would do in that kind of an instance would be I'd take a look at who your ideal clients are. And what I would do is I would take out a piece of paper and I'd make a list of your 5 to 10 best clients or best customers. And I'd ask myself, why did these particular people work with me or choose me instead of someone else? And why do I like them? Why are they my best clients or customers? And also, what was it that they actually wanted? You know, what were their problems or what were their goals? And from that, you should be able to identify sort of a picture of who your ideal client is. And then what you want to do is you want to put together a service offering or a product specifically for that ideal client. And then you want to do marketing. You want to generate a marketing campaign that you're going to take a diagnostic approach to and test and optimize until you get it to work. And that's the thing to do. You know, so many business owners, they're in a situation where they've offered everything to everybody for so long and they're sort of a generalist. And you want to figure out who, not necessarily your only ideal client, but a ideal client is, come up with a package or an offering for them, and then start marketing to them. I think that's the fastest way to get things going again, in my mind.
Right. So to try to gain marketing and sales penetration in a particular niche as narrow as possible.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I think too many people, they have the capability to solve lots of problems, so they end up having an offering that is too general and sounds too weak, especially for freelancers.
Yes. Yeah, and that's the problem with, you know, the result then is that, you know, someone isn't getting clients and isn't charging enough, you know, isn't charging much and everything because they're a generalist. They're just a sort of a commoditized, you know, a commoditized situation. And the solution to that always is to become a specialist. You know, if you're somebody where the market's changed, it's probably because sort of the generalist side of that market has become commoditized, so you need to be a specialist.
What's an example of someone you've seen who has taken this approach and gone from being a generalist to a specialist and then really killed it in that market?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've worked with a lot of web designers that have done some really cool things. So we worked with one guy who, you know, he had a web design business working with some contractors, very general, and he decided to focus on life coaches and sort of business coaches as his niche. And without even doing any paid marketing, just sort of reaching out to the people in his network, he had like 6 or 7 consultations with potential clients booked within a couple days and landed a client like in that first week just from getting narrowed in on a particular group of people he could really help.
That's great. That's great. Hey, Joe, what can we look forward to from you in the near future?
Absolutely. So a couple things we're working on. We have a sort of a one-on-one training coaching program where we work with people on, and now we're developing a new program that's going to be more geared towards people that are just starting out as freelancers. Maybe people have a job and they're looking to do freelance as a part-time or as a, you know, or eventually get to full-time. So we're developing a program for that. It's going to be called Agency Blueprint, and so I'm excited about that. That should be coming out pretty soon in the next few weeks.
That is great. And how can listeners learn more about you and follow you?
Absolutely. If you go to agencyaccelerator.guru, you can check us out there if you're a freelancer or an agency owner. And on the web design and digital marketing agency side, if you're looking for done-for-you services, you can go to kasherbawebdesign.com.
That sounds great. Well, Joe, thanks so much for a really enlightening discussion about how to take a diagnostic approach for your business, especially when you feel stuck and overwhelmed by all the actions you think you should be taking to try to improve your business. I think the diagnostic approach is a great idea, and understanding how to break that down. So thanks for walking us through that. My guest today has been Joe Kasherba, the founder and CEO of Kasherba Web Design Group, LLC. Thanks again, Joe, for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by Tend Strategic Partners. I hope you enjoyed our discussion. Have you ever hit a plateau in your own life or career? If so, let's talk. It would be my pleasure to take you through one of our free half-hour discovery sessions where we'll get to the bottom of what might be keeping you stuck and how to move things forward. Just give me a call at 212-731-0770. That's 212-731-0770. You never know what you might find out.